As we've started doing the habit of every Sunday reading a portion of Scripture, I'd like us to stand together this morning and read Psalm 23 together, please. So, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. Isn't that cool there? Surely His goodness will follow us all the days of our lives. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Wonderful thing. You may be seated. You know, that portion of Scripture is one of those portions of Scripture that just as this is a real comforting, blessing, encouraging bit of Scripture, isn't it? But you know what? I find there are bits of Scripture that leave me sometimes rather challenged. In fact, there are some portions of Scripture that I'd even go further than that, that actually make me feel like, because I haven't understood the fullness of what they're talking about, and that's where I'm wanting to go to today, talking about a particular portion of Scripture, where I go, oh, what sort of a loser am I? What sort of a slack Christian? What a pathetic excuse for a believer am I when I read different things? And the bit of Scripture I want to read to us this morning is one of those, is a part of it that I go, oh man, there's just no way in the world I could ever do that. That's what I used to think until I recognized and realized what it was actually talking about. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. In the Amplified version, it reads like this. Rejoice always. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I try to do that most of the time. And delight in your faith. Yeah, I try to delight in my faith most of the time. Most of the time, yeah, that gets the big ticks. But then it sort of all used to fall to bits right here. It says, be unceasing and persistent in prayer. In every situation, so that's the bit there. Be unceasing and persistent in prayer. That was a bit of a like a, how can you ever do that? But then the next bit goes on and says this. In every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Most of it is okay. The Message translation puts it this way. Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Oof. Give thanks to God no matter what happens. That's a pretty good one to live by. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. The NIV simply puts it like this. Pray continually. I don't know about you. It's really easy in the past to have read that scripture that says pray without ceasing or continually pray and think, oh my goodness, do I have to walk around all the time with my eyes closed or in some form of prayer, bumping into things, gabbling on, talking, going shopping and I'm praying all the time when I'm shopping or I'm talking to people and it's not making any sense because I'm praying continually. That's what I used to think. And I'd think, there ain't a hope in of ever being able to do that. Just no chance whatsoever. What sort of a rubbish believer am I? Because this is what the Apostle Paul was speaking to the church in Thessalonica and saying, this is what you need to do. Jeff, you don't even do it yourself. You don't go around with your eyes closed babbling on all the time until the light came on one day. Let me suggest that this is not really what Paul was explaining or exampling when he used those words. He did not give the example of us walking around with our eyes closed all the time, continuously praying and never being in a place of being able to communicate. Being a bit freaky, okay? Stick with me. We're going to go on a little journey here. Here's a definition of what I believe that Paul was perhaps saying here. Not ceasing or stopping, continuous, an unceasing flow. It's not going to stop. It's going to continue on no matter what. This idea of it going on and not ever finishing. This idea of unceasing, incessant prayer is essential to the very vitality of our relationship with God and our ability, I believe, to function as we need to function in the world, in this time that we are living in right now. So what could it mean to pray without ceasing or to pray continually? Well, you know what? When the first time I've talked about it a little bit, but I think the first time many of us would ever hear about the concept of praying without ceasing, it may conjure up as some sort of a weird image of a weird bunch of people walking around with their eyes closed, with their hands clasped in front of them, bumping into things, or in a constant place of sitting down and in a place of constant prayer and not being able to do anything. Something like some sort of a monk in a monastery somewhere who doesn't have anything else to do but to do that. Or we look at some of the Eastern religions and see their examples of their types of prayer, how they get down and pray. That's the sort of image it used to conjure up for me. Anybody else? You're allowed to be honest, okay? Okay. There's a few of you, yeah? You know what? It's 100% safe to say that as a Christian, we have hope in Christ that is without compare, and with that hope should come a real sense of unmatched joy. And thanks to the sacrifice that God made through Jesus being on the cross, we are able to have an intimate, personal relationship with Almighty God. You know what? And this opens up this whole idea of a direct line of communication with Him. And He wants to talk to us. And He wants us to talk to Him. And like a good father should be, He listens and He is there to comfort us when we need comfort. He's there to help us when we need help. He's there to answer us when we need questions to be answered. And He's there to guide us when we need guidance. He is always there with us. See, one way of looking at praying without ceasing is the sense of being in the constant presence of God. This whole idea of being in the constant presence of God. Folks, we have to face the reality. You and I are in constant presence with Almighty God. Do you mean, Jeff, even when? Yep. You don't even know what I was going to say, do you? But I guess if we had... No, I won't. Whatever. It is whatever we are. He is there with us. Incredible thought. You know what? And as we desire Him, in the sense of as we desire a sense of relationship with Him, as we chase after Him, there's a sense of real intentionality that needs to be part of the living of our lives. It's a part of this whole idea of the recognition of who He is. And this idea of enjoying living this life to the fullest and a life that honors Him in everything. This means thanking Him. And all things give thanks. What did that bit of scripture say? In every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God, this intentional recognition of whom He is. It's about praising Him. It's about this idea of worshiping God, bringing Him honor through our lives. See, as we worship and give thanks to Him, you know what? This adds up to nothing less than pursuing fellowship, relationship, connection with Him. Never forgetting that He is waiting and He wants to be involved in all parts, all facets, all aspects of our lives. So to pray without ceasing refers rather to an idea and consequence reality of recurring prayer rather than some idea of non-stop talking. So if I was to pause right there and that was the end of what I was going to say for the morning, I would go away after hearing that with an idea that Jeff is saying that we just got to keep on praying all the time. Yeah? And not stopping. Doing nothing else but and we pray. Yeah? Stick with it. This sort of prayer really needs to be a way of life, living in an ongoing attitude of prayer. Notice that it's an attitude of prayer. It is a living in continual God consciousness, where everything we see and everything we experience needs to become a kind of prayer, a deep awareness and surrender to Him. You know what? And there's a lot of styles, isn't there? There's a lot of ways to pray. There are a number of specific times we could set aside that are very important, that could have bearing on our communication with God. But to pray at all times obviously does not mean we are to pray in a formal and noticeable ways every waking moment. And it also does not mean that we are meant to just devote ourselves to reciting ritualistic patterns and forms of prayer, even though they have their rightful place and their rightful time and their rightful outworking in our lives at various times. When I'm in the habit of getting up in the morning and praying early in the morning, when I get myself in the habit of being up silly o'clock in the morning to pray, my praying starts off with written prayers. Prayers that I've written out and I've copied because it helps wake me up. I don't know about you, but at silly o'clock in the morning, you know, the brain is a little sluggish. You know, there's a kidney, my spirit is alive, but the brain is rather sluggish. So I pray in tongues a little bit. Then I go through these written prayers that I have got down because I understand there is something about the discipline. You know, I learned it from playing sport. If you keep on doing the same thing over and over again, you become very good at it. That is the whole idea of why you practice in sport. Why do sports people, why does the great tennis players, when Andy Murray's actually doing well, why does he still spend 8 hours a day training? Hitting a jolly tennis ball. I mean, what can you do with a tennis ball? The great snooker players, 8 to 9 hours a day. That's why they're so incredible what they do. The great golfers spend hour upon hour. You know what? They go out and play their 18 holes of golf in a tournament. Then they come. They don't just stop there. They don't just go, all right, let's have a beer now. That's us done for the day. They get back out on the driving range and they're smacking balls. They get on the practice greens and they're putting balls. They keep on practicing, just absolutely repeating the same thing. If you and I repeat the same things, they become automated and they become far easier to do. So, to pray without ceasing means when we are tempted, we hold the temptation before God and we ask Him for help. See, if praying without ceasing means that we are in a place of engaging God intentionally because His presence is with us all the time, there are a number of very practical things we can do. When we experience something good and beautiful, we immediately thank Him for it. When we see evil around us, we ask God to intervene and even to use us toward that end, if that is His will. When we meet someone who does not know Christ, we pray for God to draw that person to Himself and use us to be a faithful witness for Him. When we encounter trouble, what do? We need to turn to our deliverer. Little things like that is the idea of constantly praying, of praying without ceasing. In doing this, life becomes a continual lifting up in prayer. It begins a habit. It begins an intentional habit. If something goes on and we respond by immediately turning to God, a habit of intentional prayer develops. And now, in your workplaces, when you come across a situation where your experience or your wisdom hasn't got the answer for it, Lord, help me in this. Can be some of the most powerful prayers you and I can ever pray. Just a simple, please help. Please help me, I don't know what I'm going to do next. Please, Lord, deliver me from this situation. It's this constant intentional engagement, this idea of never ceasing. All of life's thoughts, all deeds and circumstances become an opportunity to commune with God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2 says this, in that way, we constantly set our mind on the things above and not on the things that are on earth. I think there is an aspect of this idea of praying without ceasing that is, first of all, us intentionally remembering that God is in everything. The second part of it is obviously the part of never ever giving up, to keep on doing, keep on praying, keep on believing God. So what did that scripture we began with says? It says this, rejoice always and delight in your faith. Be unceasing and persistent in prayer in every situation, no matter what the circumstances. Be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So, rejoice always. Easier said than done, isn't it? But I think it's a pretty good thing to do when the great apostle Paul says to us, rejoice always. A quote here, rejoice while you are alive. Enjoy the day, live life to the fullest, make the most of what you have. It is later than you think. Charles Spurgeon said this, a rejoicing heart soon makes a praising tongue. You know what? If our very being, I know we always say it's a heart, but the heart, when it's talking about here, is actually our mind. When our mind is in a place of deliberate happiness and connection, of rejoicing in God, you know what happens? It comes out of our mouths. It comes out of our mouths. Think of some of the happiest, joyful people you know. Let me have a think. He's not here this morning, Mick. Mick, no matter what you ask him, laughs. Doesn't he? That's just who he is. He just laughs. You know, you ring him up. How are you doing? I'm feeling terrible. You know. That's just how he is, because it's just in him. It's just part of who he is. It just can't help but run out of him. It goes on to say this. So, rejoice always, delight in your faith. How do we delight in our faith? Enjoy it. How do we enjoy it then? If we are to delight in it, how are we to enjoy it? Enjoy Him? How do we enjoy Him? Spend time with Him? Take opportunities? I've got plenty of answers, but just didn't like you guys going to sleep on me, that's all. Worship Him? Count your blessings. It's just a hot spirit of gratitude. Speaking His word. Yes, in every situation, it's an intentional thing, isn't it? It's this whole stuff of intentional outworking of relationship upon God. You know what? When Bo and I When things are not good between Bo and I, it's usually because... In Bo's estimation, it is always my fault. Now you see what I have to put up with. You see why I wear a shirt and long sleeves now, don't you? It's when things are not good between Bo and I, do not believe what she has to say. It is usually because there has been no intentional communication between us. I'm saying this so that Bo would finally get it. I've got the microphone. In our relationships, our human relationships, when things are not right, there are intentional... I hate using things all the time. Actions, words that we should very deliberately do to re-engage connection again. It's exactly the same with God. The more you and I intentionally spend time with God, the more joy comes in the walking of the living of this life. It's the same with exercise. I know some of you are shocked to hear this, but when you exercise, you want to exercise more. Some of you are looking at me like, you're not serious, are you? So at the moment, Tim and I are getting ready to go to walk up to Base Camp on Everest in September. Tim is running just silly stuff. It's just he's doing like 6 miles a day running, and I'm not. I'm walking about 3 miles a day because I can't run because of my knee. But you know what? What I've found, and I know Tim's finding it, the more you do it, the more you really enjoy it. And I don't just go for a little gentle stroll down the street or anything. I walk really, really hard, and I, you know, and Tim runs really hard, and he gets back up to the house after he's run back up Upshire Hill, and he's gasping for breath and stuff. But you know what? It's really enjoyable.
Sounds it.
Yeah, see? Now, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, yes, I did.
Oh, we have a treadmill. One day I'm going to use it.
Bo just said, we have a treadmill and one day she will use it. But this is an intentional thing about it, delighting in our faith. So it goes on and says, be unceasing and persistent in prayer. See, the value of persistent prayer is not that he will hear us, but that we will finally hear him. So pray without ceasing, simple yet profound, not named repetition necessity, and yet it's a continual rising up of the longings and desires of the heart into the presence of God. It's normal and it's like breathing. It's a quote I got from somewhere. Be unceasing and persistent means never ever giving up. Keep on praying. We need to ensure we never come to the place where our confession may sound something like, prayer doesn't work. Let's forget about it. I'm done. I'm giving up on it. This would be intrinsically opposite to the very idea of unceasing and persistent prayer. It finishes off that bit of scripture by saying, be thankful and continually give thanks to God. One person said this, I'm blessed and I thank God every day for everything that happens to me. You know what? It's just a simple thing we can do in doing that. You know what, if we are to pursue this idea of recognizing his presence throughout our day and this whole idea of engaging in a place of unceasing prayer, praying without any, praying continually, and starting off this place of connection with him, here's five little areas we can do it in. Walk with God. Literally walk with God. Go for a walk. See, the reality, one of the things in today's world is that we get ourselves too busy doing lots of things and we forget about some of the very simple things of life. We all walk somewhere. Yeah? Everybody in here? Yes, everybody in here does walk. Well, no, some people are in wheelchairs, so they can't go for a walk, yeah? Apart from babies? No, there's no little babies in here? No. Yeah, okay, I've got it all covered. We all can go for a walk. You know what? Take that time just to talk to God while you're walking along. Another thing we can do is that if we are people who like to run, run with God. While you go for a run, talk to him. Just have a chat. Just chitter-chatter to him while you're running. Pretty much all of us in here drive. You know what? And if we live anywhere there is population, sometimes the driving is not very productive. You seem to be sat still for a very long time. Oh, how's this for a nightmare? I was at a conference Tuesday and Wednesday around near Heathrow Airport. I came, and then on Wednesday afternoon I came back. It took me 3.5 hours to get back from near Heathrow. Isn't that horrible? That's just accidents on the M25. Just, golly. Drive with God. We spend time. You know what? Maybe if you're a person who spends a lot of time in your car, put a note on your dashboard or on your steering wheel, just simply saying this, drive time, prayer time. Because we need things just to remind us. You know, it's very easy just to get angry and annoyed and get consumed with driving. Actually, drive time, prayer time goes together. Perhaps fourthly, wait with God. Write down some prayers in a notebook. You've got a smartphone, write down prayer requests in your smartphone. You know what? If you go to see when you're waiting in a queue, you know, if you're one of those people on the M25 that have to pull the handbrake on and put it into neutral and sit there for a little while, instead of just listening to the rubbish on the radio, hey, what is it? Oh, yeah, I need to pray for that. Or sitting down waiting. You know, we all have time when we're doing nothing. Simply remind ourselves like that. And here's one I think this is the fifth one, is a really key one for us today in our busy world, is take time to hide away with God. Take some time to hide away. Life is way too busy. Get away by yourself. Close the door and be alone. Wife of one of the great preachers, I can't remember what it was, if we go back a number of centuries, she used to... her way of praying was she'd have a big apron on, and she's Wesley's wife. She used to sit in the kitchen and she used to get the apron and put it over her head. When the apron was over her head, the kids knew, you do not disturb mum or you're going to die. Okay? So it was her way of just being alone with God. It was her hideout. It was her little time. So whatever we need to do in life, we all need to have a little hideout. Go and sit in the park. Go and sit in the back garden. Go and lock the toilet door and pretend you're actually going to the toilet. Whatever. Go and run a bath and sit in the bath and hide away with God. Whatever it may take. You know what? Building habits that would last a lifetime. So let's be people who do whatever we can to live in a place of continual unceasing prayer, of communication, remembering the little things and thanking God for the little things. Those things that come along in life, actually saying, God, I give you thanks. Those little things in life that are troublesome at times, God, I need your help. At work, when there's situations, God, you know what? I haven't got the knowledge or the wisdom to sort this out. God, please help me. You're stuck in traffic in your car. Father, help me. Just help, whatever. We just this deliberate engagement, and always remember, don't ever give up on praying. Amen. Amen.